The Kinship of Catholics and Jews is a program sponsored by the Institute of Judeo-Christian Studies, Seton Hall University. I'm Father Lawrence Frizzell. I'm the director of the Institute and moderator of this program. With me this morning is Rabbi Dr. Ron Kronisch, who is coming to us from Jerusalem. And Rabbi Kronisch is the founder and director of the Interreligious Coordinating Council in Israel for many decades. And this has been the great focus of efforts in the land of Israel and in the Palestinian areas to develop a positive dialogue between Israelis and Palestinians. And this work of Rabbi Kronisch then has led him to an enormously wide experience in both Jewish-Christian relations and interfaith relations with the Muslim communities as well. Now, Rabbi Kronisch, you have been with us before, and we've commemorated some of your earlier work. Today, we wish to talk about your book, Profiles in Peace. And this is the voices of peace builders in the midst of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So Rabbi Kronisch, tell us a little bit about yourself and your work, and then we'll come to discuss certain points relating to your recent book.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be with you again. And I was pleased to give a lecture at Seton Hall University a few weeks ago as part of the Rose Thering Endowment program. I worked for nearly 30 years in the field of interreligious dialogue and peace building in Israel and Palestine, based in Jerusalem. When I retired from the directorship of the ICCI, Interreligious Coordinating Council in Israel, 8 years ago, I began to devote myself more to writing, and I have published in the last 8 years three books. One was a book of essays, one was a kind of memoir, and my last book, which came out just a few months ago, Profiles in Peace, tells the story of six peace builders, three Israeli Jewish peace builders, and three Palestinian Arab peace builders, in the midst of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. That means people who have persisted for peace over many years, and in some cases decades, despite the ups and downs of the conflict. So I've been working at this for, I'd say, the last 30 years of my life here in Israel, of the 43 years I've lived here, and it's been a major goal of my life.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Rabbi Kronisch. I would mention, of course, that you have your doctorate in education, and you had a bachelor's degree from Brandeis University in psychology. And so then you went to the Hebrew Union College to be ordained in the Reform Movement as a rabbi. And your work certainly has touched many people internationally because of the books that you've written. The previous one, The Other Peace Process, Interreligious Dialogue, A View from Jerusalem. And so that book you published in 2017. Now, I'd like you to review for us the peacemakers, that is the people who are trying to achieve peace over the decades between Israel and her neighbors. And so I'd ask you to review for us some of the highlights and the positive developments that took place on that level of peacemaking before we go to your book, which will focus on the other kind of a process, peace building.
So I've taken two terms from the field of conflict resolution. People refer to peacemakers as the politicians, international relations experts, lawyers, negotiators, whose job has been to negotiate peace agreements between governments. And in my book, in the first chapter, I trace the history of the peace process and as well the political peace process from the 48 war up until today. But I'll give you just a few highlights.
Yes.
One of the great moments in Israeli life was in 1977, 4 years after the October War or the Yom Kippur War, and after four or five wars between Israel and Egypt, when President Anwar Sadat of Egypt decided to fly to Jerusalem and speak in the Knesset and tell the people of Israel that Egypt was ready to make peace with this country. If you had asked people who were living in Israel at that time, what were the chances of a peace agreement with Egypt, our major enemy, a very big army, most people would have said, this is never going to happen. And yet the peace agreement did happen. Some people will recall the iconic photo of President Carter, President Sadat, and Prime Minister Menachem Begin after Camp David won, where they, in 1978, held negotiations. And the peace agreement with Egypt was signed in 1979 and has lasted until this day. So that was a great achievement, which people tend to forget about sometimes. In terms of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, we had some major agreements between Israel and the Palestinians in the early 1990s, known as the Oslo Accords. They were conducted by secret negotiations in Norway, in and around Oslo, for 9 or 10 months. And all of a sudden, towards the end of that summer, in 1993, there was an announcement, there was a breakthrough, and the Palestinian negotiators and the Israeli negotiators there had reached an agreement, which was called the Declaration of Principles. President Clinton, who was in his first or second year in office, invited the key actors to the White House. And on September 13, 1993, a historic peace agreement was signed on the White House lawn between Israelis and the Palestinians. And that was followed by other Oslo Accords in the 1990s. 3 months after the signing of the Oslo Accords, there was also an important historical agreement. It is known as the Fundamental Agreement between the Holy See and the State of Israel. So the Vatican and the State of Israel enter into diplomatic relations. According to Ambassador Pietro Sambi, who was the nuncio in Israel at the time, he told me that this could not have happened without the Oslo agreements, that everybody was waiting for this breakthrough. And I was privileged to be at the signing of the agreement between the Vatican and Israel, held at the Foreign Ministry in Israel at the end of December that year, 1993. The diplomatic relations between the Vatican and Israel continue to this day. 2 years later, in 1995, there was an agreement with Jordan. President Clinton was still there. 1998, 3 years later, even though we switched prime ministers in Israel, we had another agreement called the Y River Memorandum outside of Washington, D.C. So the early 90s, or most of the 90s, was a period of political progress, many agreements between the Palestinians and then the Jordanians and the Vatican. And in that period, there was a lot of hope on both sides that perhaps a comprehensive peace agreement could be reached. There was one last try at it in the summer of 2000 called Camp David 2, where Clinton in his last year invited the parties to Camp David and they hoped they would reach the agreement. Unfortunately, it failed after 2 weeks of negotiations. They just couldn't conclude it. And since then, to make a long story short, we've been on a downhill course. There haven't been any peace agreements now for 24 years. And there are hardly any negotiations anymore. And the political peace process is in the deep freeze under various governments, both on the Israeli side and the Palestinian side.
So that overview gives us moments of hope. And I appreciate very much that you sketched that review for us. And the unexpected, the surprises, we hope will be coming forth at some time in the near future, that there can be a sign, as these moments that you've mentioned have been signs of hope, we can look forward to other opportunities where a meeting of minds and hearts would be for the great benefit of all concerned. And so the idea of peacemaking then, as you mentioned, on the highest level, is extremely important. But also, there is much to be said about the quiet work of individuals and groups who form within many contexts to bring the realities of goodwill and hope to the ordinary people in both Israel and in her neighbors, and especially among the Palestinians. That's our prayer, of course, that this development will take place on the level of peacemaking, on the political level, ultimately. But I'd like you now, Rabbi Gronisch, to tell us about the quiet efforts of peace builders. And this is the main subject of your recent book, Profiles in Peace. And so I'd like you to draw our attention to some of the developments that are taking place, and especially some of the personalities, these heroic people who do stand for the principles of goodwill and want to see a development that would happen quietly on the level of ordinary daily life, and then, of course, reach a climax with a political and social agreement. So tell us a little bit about some of the people you have mentioned in your book, and I would appreciate hearing a little bit about these experiences in which you have certainly been involved.
Okay, thank you. I want to begin with telling you about a woman, a Palestinian Muslim woman named Huda Abu Arkoub, who lives in Dura, a village near Hebron in the southern part of the West Bank. Huda is currently the regional director of the Alliance for Middle East Peace, a group based in Washington, D.C., and with an office in Paris, a group that I was affiliated with from 1994 for many years when it got started. And it is now a coalition of something like 160 different groups in Palestine, in Israel, internationally, who are doing a great variety of projects and programs in areas of education and health and religion in many areas to bring Israeli Jews and Palestinian Arabs together to learn how to live in peace with one another. Huda Abu Arkoub grew up in her village, learned English well, and became a teacher. And in the days of the Oslo agreements in the early 90s that I talked about a few minutes ago, she was sent by the Palestinian Authority to attend meetings in Europe, in Vienna, and other places where she met Israeli Jewish teachers and began to see the human face of Israelis for the first time in her life. Before that, she only saw them as soldiers or settlers. And she began to work on educational programs and projects. Huda spent a lot of time in the United States. She got a Fulbright to study at Eastern Mennonite University in Virginia, where she wrote a master's thesis on Judaism, Christianity, and Islam about peace. And she spent time in San Francisco with a group called Abraham's Vision. But now she's back home working with many, many groups on the ground, promoting peaceful relations between people, despite all the challenges and difficulties that she and many of her colleagues face every day. So she's in the category of what I call a persistent peace builder, someone who keeps at it and keeps a vision of peace alive, even though times are very tough still on the in the daily level and in the security front. So I'm pleased to share some information about Huda. For more information, you have to read the book, at least the chapter on Huda, which is a very wonderful chapter.
Yes, thank you.
On the Jewish side, I'd like to talk about a woman named Hadassah Fruman. Hadassah Fruman lives also in the West Bank in a settlement called Tekoa, biblical Tekoa, where the prophet Amos used to prophesy. It's 15 minutes south of Jerusalem on the edge of the desert. And she's lived there since 1969 when she and her husband moved there. Her husband was a famous rabbi in Israel, Rabbi Menachem Fruman, an Orthodox rabbi who settled in the West Bank but developed very special relations with Palestinians, particularly Palestinian Muslims, particularly clergy, sheikhs, and imams in the West Bank and in Gaza, and became an iconoclastic religious Jewish Orthodox peace builder in his time. He died about 8 years ago, maybe nine by now. And his wife, Hadassah, who I interviewed for the book, continues his work and is active in the local area of Gush Etzion, block south of Jerusalem, where she and colleagues in a group called Roots Shorashim Judor, colleagues, Palestinian Arabs and Israeli Jews, work together with youth and women and international groups to advance the cause of mutual understanding and living together. They have a center called the Dignity Center, which has been doing great work in recent years. And Hadassah Fruman is pleased, very happy to continue her husband's legacy of peace building on the ground, and believes that somehow or other the politicians will get their act together one day. But in the meantime, those of us have on the ground have a responsibility to create paths of peace between people, and she's actively doing it all the time. Would you like more?
Well, I would certainly comment that the political decisions are extremely important in terms of, let's say, education, in terms of policies and so on. But it's the work of ordinary people in the classroom or in other settings of exchange that we could call dialogue, where people really listen to each other and come to share their ideals and their hopes. That would be the context, I think, where the political efforts will really take on a substance, we might say, because the political agreements are wonderful, but until the ideas of peace building are incorporated more and more into the ordinary lives of people, there can be a clash, we could say, between the ideals that can be presented by in politics, which we salute, of course, but also the day-to-day work of education is extremely important. So I'm glad to have these examples that you've given us, two ladies who are certainly doing magnificent work, and they're between Muslims and Jews. Now I'd ask if you could reflect a little bit on the work of the bishop, the Lutheran Bishop of the Holy Land, Bishop Munab Yunan.
Local Palestinian who grew up in the Lutheran church here, which is a small church in Jerusalem, a small Protestant church, grew up in Jerusalem and lives still in Jerusalem to this day. He studied in Finland for many years, where he got his degrees in theology, but came back here to be a pastor, first in Ramallah, later in Beit Jala, just south of Jerusalem. And then he was elected the Bishop of Jerusalem, the post where he served for 20 years, and he's emeritus from that position. And after that, he was elected as the president of the World Lutheran Federation, which he served for 7 years, where he brought his message of peace all over the world, the Lutheran world, and many, many international conferences, including international reconciliation between the Lutheran Church and the Catholic Church on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So Bishop Yunan has been an active peace builder, Christian peace builder. He's not the only one, but he's one that I decided to write about because I know him very well. He and I actually ran a dialogue together for many years, which we called the Jonah Group, where I brought Jewish educators and clergy, and he brought Christian educators and clergy, Catholic and Orthodox and Lutheran and Armenian. And we did this for several years, where we studied together and discussed contemporary issues together. Later on, he was active in a group called the Council of Religious Institutions of the Holy Land, which brought together delegates from the chief rabbinate and the heads of the Christian churches in Jerusalem, and the people from the Waqf, the Palestinian Ministry of Religion in Ramallah. And this went on for several years and did a lot of important work on the ground, grassroots work, which was appreciated here in Jerusalem. And he continues to promote his ideas, and he believes that religion, particularly his faith, guides him not only towards interfaith dialogue with others, but towards the concept of bringing peace to the Holy Land, which to him is very important, of course, not just in theoretical terms, but in very concrete ways. And I'm pleased to profile him in my book. He's also written two of his own books, which you can find on the internet, and they're available in America. I think it's Fortress Press, which is a Lutheran press. He's one of many Christian peace builders in Jerusalem, but probably one of the leaders.
And so we salute the work of these three individuals who each coming from a profound commitment in his or her faith expression, and realizing that the mystery of our faith in God is to have an impact on our daily lives. And so we have to move from faith to faithfulness in terms of the ways in which the expressions of faith can be entered ever more deeply into people's lives. So the way in which these three figures have drawn attention to the hope of God's goodness to manifest itself in surprising ways, in ways that will indeed overcome the tensions and the expressions of animosity that unfortunately reached the news. We'd like to think that there would be many examples of these kinds of efforts day by day that would reach the news as well in terms of, let's say, our perception from afar. And so it's great that that you're able, Rabbi Kronisch, to draw our attention to some of the individuals that have indeed been persistent. And I think that's the key concept of fidelity is a persistent day by day, month by month effort to bring people together with the idea of truly listening to each other. And they, may this spread to many levels. I've noticed in some of my teaching that the Holy See in the Council for Promoting Interreligious Dialogue draws attention to the ways in which the idea of dialogue can be developed. And they draw attention to what they call the dialogue of life, that ordinary people are meeting each other in the markets or on the job and so on. And there are interactions which we hope will be positive. Then the dialogue of experts who are going to bring about the listening attitude that would allow each community to be represented and not in a situation of debate, but rather of hope. And then the dialogue of action, whereby people are working together on the areas that they can see a true social need is being met, not just by individuals or small groups independently trying to do something, but with an effort to make a deep collaboration in the areas where there can be understanding and a proper listening attitude to bring about hope. And the last is the dialogue of people who are sharing their deep religious experiences, that listening to each other, and so especially people who are searching profoundly for the mystery of God in their lives, there's much more shared in common than sometimes we might think. So Rabbi Kronisch, your work is certainly maturing, and it's a question of persistence that for which I salute you and your colleagues. And now we can think of a new year coming where there should be, we hope, wonderful signs of openness toward each other and a way of reaching an understanding that will allow people to grapple with the real problems that any human society faces. So the way in which your work has matured, Rabbi Kronisch, is a great sign for us on the outside, as it were, to realize that much good is being developed and there's a great deal that we can aspire to each in our own way. But I wish to congratulate you and your colleagues for all the great work that you've been doing over the decades.
And I want to thank you for helping us spread some good news.
Yeah, well, thank you, Rabbi Kronisch, and invite our listeners to be with us again next Sunday for the Kinship of Catholics and Jews at 11 a.m.